Meet me at stage door.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of PS Meet Me at Stage Door. Today we have an exciting guest for you, but before we get into that, Tori, take it away with the bulletin.
In sad news, it has been announced that Frozen on Broadway has officially closed after an amazing 851 performances at the St. James Theatre, and they will not be reopening once the restrictions are lifted for Broadway. Our hearts go out to the cast and crew and everyone involved with this phenomenal production. In some good news, whilst the Sydney season of Frozen has been postponed, it is set to open on the 1st of December 2020 at the Capitol Theatre in Sydney. And in some of the most exciting news of the month, it has been officially announced that a pro shot of Hamilton with the original Broadway cast will be available on Disney Plus from the 1st of June. Mark it in your calendars, you guys. You won't want to miss this.
Well, today we are lucky enough to have one of Australian theatre's up-and-coming talents, Monique Salleh.
Monique has recently just finished performing as Little Red Riding Hood in Gordon Frost's Shrek the Musical, which unfortunately has been cancelled due to COVID-19.
She made her professional debut in the Australian Helpman Award-winning production of A Chorus Line in the role of Bibi and understudying Diana.
Her other credits include the 50th anniversary touring cast of Hair, Hayes Theatre Company's production of Catch Me If You Can, Gordon Frost's touring production of Mamma Mia, performing as Ali, and Squabber Logic, The Dismissal, as just some of her most notable productions.
Throughout our training, Monique has been a mentor to both Tori and I, and a great representation of a performer who is killing it in the Australian theatre industry.
So, please welcome Monique.
God, what an intro. I've never had such an intro in my life.
Thank you so much for coming on. We can't wait to chat to you about everything theatre related today.
I'm very excited to be here to feel so special. Thank you, gals.
No, break up that COVID-19 staying at home boredom.
Correct.
Well, we wanted to start today by asking you a little bit about how you started in your career in theatre.
Well, my mum was a dancing teacher when I was a kid. Well, before actually I was a kid. She's been a dancing teacher her whole life, and then auditioned for Newtown Performing Arts, then did that. And then,
We love Newtown.
Oh yeah, it's good. Then I did one term of a Bachelor of Arts majoring in psychology and drama at Western Sydney. And
oh, wow.
Then, yeah. Oh, okay. Which most people don't know, but I remember handing in my last assignment and going, I'm leaving this place. I hate it. I liked the work, but I didn't want to do that. I was like, oh, I want to perform, but I don't know what, you know.
I want to be on stage.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't have the confidence yet to go, yeah, I'm going to do it as a career. I loved it. I knew it's what I loved doing, but I didn't really think, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And then my dancing teacher at the time was like, oh, what's this AIM place? So she found AIM online. And then we did 2 years of that, and then I did a year of Brent Street. I did the full-time course at Brent Street, and then bada bing, bada boom, went out into the big bad world.
And you were like, here I am.
Here I am, these fries are French. Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Oh my God, you just gave me war flashbacks of when we did Here I Am.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I know what I'm doing.
God, all I remember is all of us doing Hamilton in the white, in the black jeans, white long sleeves, and white suspenders.
I enjoyed that. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, God, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that one.
Well, we did want to talk to you a bit about how you kind of feel like your educational path and university study helped to shape you. And do you think that university as a performer is necessary?
Good question. I really do believe a background of some formal training is essential. You've got to have a dance background. You've got to have the basics of acting.
Yeah.
You've got to be taking your singing lessons. You've got to be developing your technique. As you get older, your voice is going to change and you have to adapt to that. You know, it's essential. Yeah. If you really want to do it 8 times a week, you've got to figure out how you're going to do that. Yeah. And learn from the best while your brain is still a sponge and not an old dried up cloth like mine is, because I'm so old now.
You know, it's almost like that thing where you have certain institutions where it's like, oh, they've been a teacher there for 25 years but they haven't been working, whereas it's really good to find places that also incorporate like industry professionals into
100%.
The degree.
If you're not learning from people who have worked on either on Broadway or on the West End or in major Australian musicals, what are you going to learn? You're going to learn how to perform on for those street. Why wouldn't you want to have exactly. give yourself as many chances as possible to yeah. know more or to try different things? Or, you know, if you've only had one experience with one singing teacher and you've been doing well, why wouldn't you then want to go, okay, what other opportunities do I have? What other voice styles, types, yeah. songs, you know, why not?
Definitely. And after going through that learning process and coming out the other side into the industry, do you have any worst audition stories? Something in an audition that has gone wrong?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we can train as much as we can, but when we get in the room, it doesn't always go to plan. Mm-hmm.
Look, I really, you don't have enough time for the amount that I have. I really have had so many, but you will always learn from the bad ones, and it sucks that you know, we have to accept that, but you will always learn from the bad ones. You'll probably learn more from your bad ones than your good ones. I mean, like, the story that I would, you know, my most abysmal story was both the worst and the best thing, because it was my A Chorus Line audition. It was actually my last callback.
No way.
I was doing really well. I did the first few rounds, and then my last one, when I had to yeah. do the BB material, I was that nervous and I was that young, and I knew it. I'd done it already. And it was like that one verse. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. the pianist starts playing and he goes, and I was like, mother, I said I was very attractive when I grew up. I just completely blanked. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I've just forgotten the words. And they all just cracked up. They were like, it's all right, honey, go again. They were really lovely. And I was like, oh my God, okay, it's fine. It happened yeah. again. It happened again. It happened four times. And they were laughing so hard. And the director, God. Michael Gorman, the associate director, he was like, honey, hold the lyrics. It's okay. You're really right for this part. Just hold the lyrics. I know you can see you're nervous. And I was like, I've already done this for you. I know it. He's like, and we know that, and it's okay. And they were just laughing because they were like, this is such Aww. A BB thing. So BB is, you know, neurotic and, mm-hmm. you know, young, and she's really eager and, you know, blurts out things that she shouldn't, which is me. So the fact that it went really badly didn't matter because I was really right for the part.
They're actually rooting for you on the other side as
100%.
Well.
100%. And I've been on the other side now, and I know that. Like, it's, you can say, as a performer, before I had my creative team experience, I was like, oh, yeah, sure, they're here for me, whatever. And then you get on the other side, and you're sitting there, and you're watching someone sing, and you're like, yes, go. Or you're like, you can do it. Do you need a glass of water? They're really literally cheerleaders for you. They just, and if they seem disinterested, it's usually just because they're hungry.
Yeah.
I guess, and talking about, you know, your abysmal callback, like your final round callback for A Chorus Line, what was your first professional show experience like, and was it a good transition into the professional world?
So I was auditioning that during the end few months of Bren Street. So I was just finishing up full-time dance there. So then jumped straight into A Chorus Line, and it was full on. I had been dancing 9 a.m. till 5 p.m., if not 6 p.m., Monday to Friday for a year. So it probably came at the best time. It wasn't too much of a shock to the system. Different to Bren Street, I was surrounded by people in my age range, although I was slightly one of the older ones of the pack. I then go into A Chorus Line, and I'm one of the young pups. You know, there are other people with women and men with families, with children, with mortgages, with so many other credits. And I was just like, oh. I don't think I realized, looking back on it now, I think I was just like going day by day and being like, okay, I'm doing this today, I'm doing that today, okay, cool. But now looking back on it, I'm like, I think that little bit of naivety worked in my favor, because if I had realized the magnitude of what it was, I probably would have just fainted every day.
I guess it's getting through that audition, that even though, like, the bad callback, and then realizing you've got it, you're like, oh, I'm okay now. I almost think that auditions are, like, way more stressful than when you get it, because then you know, I'm right for this. Yes, I can do this. And then you go and do it.
There is that, but then there's the other side of a lot of people, and myself included, had imposter syndrome. So there was a time during rehearsals where I'd walk to work every day and go, this is the day I'm going to be fired. This is the day that they're going to go, oh, how did we hire for her. What a mistake. She slipped under the radar. I missed that one. We're so silly. Monique, get out. And it's so funny talking then, you know, later on, I talked to like the big wigs, like Gemma Ricks and all these other people then I ended up working with, and they have the same thing. Like, we all idolize these people. Gemma is the most beautiful human in the world. And she would say things like, you know, I didn't go to a drama school. I didn't study. I always have this like thing where I'm like, oh God, they're going to figure out that I'm a fake and a phony. And meanwhile, she's like one of the most accomplished people in the country, if not the world. Yeah. And she's got a set of pipes that anyone would, you know, sell their soul to the devil
for. Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's insane what anyone's brain is doing. Even the top dogs, you know, have their own things going on in their head and their own things that they got to deal with.
Did you learn from that in terms of like, it's really nerve-wracking at first, but did that help you in like future, when you did future shows, to be like, I know I deserve to be here. Okay. Yeah. I've done something.
100%. You know, it doesn't stop those thoughts from creeping in, you know, even the last couple of shows I've done. And then you go, no, I'm here. They would not have wasted their time. They would not, you know, I'm here for a reason. They know what they're doing. This is going to be okay. You learn how to do that. And it's weirdly comforting to know that other people are going through the same thing as well. Then we can go, ah, how silly are we? Let's do the thing that we want to do and then put our focus into that and telling our story, and then we go and be okay.
So on the talk of some of the shows that you have done, Mon, today we're going to be doing a lyric challenge, Mon edition.
Oh no. This is going to be bad. This is going to be a thing where people like listen to it and go, she should know that. That's bad.
But that's my favorite thing. I've given Libby songs before from songs in shows she has done and she doesn't remember. And it's the funniest thing.
That's going to happen right now. I'm telling you, it's going to be bad. I have a bit of a goldfish memory. No. Like, once I've done something, I kind of leave it.
How this works is we're changing it up with the lyric challenge a little bit, like we have done previously for anyone that has listened to our podcast for the past few months. So usually it's just like a point if you get the lyrics right, but I'm going to do a 2-point system of, if you can name the show, you get a point, and then if you get the lyrics right, you get a point. But as you are the guest, Mon, we will be starting with you.
Oh no. Okay,
what I'm going to do first, I'm just going to say the lyric and then you can guess the next. If you can't get it, then I will attempt to sing it.
Yes, so, sing Eloise.
I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there.
Is that all I get?
Yes.
Can you sing it? I think I know what it is, but can you sing it?
Yeah. So it's, I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there.
Mamma mia! Though, am I on the right track? I don't know which verse it is. Though it's hurting me. No, it's straight, nope. Not that verse.
Next
other
verse.
Other one. No. I'm thinking of like every single other verse that exists except the one you want. Nah, I'm out. What is it?
Okay, so it's, I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there. I figured it made sense, building me a fence.
Oh! Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that either, don't worry.
Every single other one except that one. I'm sorry, Nat O'Donnell, I'm sorry.
It's all right, it's okay. It's only your first round, but you got 1 point because you got the name of the show right.
I was probably putting my shoes on at that time and walking to the vocal booth being like, what are we singing now?
Yeah. All right, Libby.
Oh my God. Okay. Guys, you know I'm bad at this, but like, let's go.
All right, so it's, sometimes their hatred is out of control. God, how they hurt me.
Sometimes their hatred is out of control. God, I think this is Carrie.
This is Carrie.
Okay. Okay, yep, it's Carrie. You're on my track. All right.
Okay, so
can you sing it?
I'm gonna try. Sometimes their hatred is out of control. God, how they hurt me.
Something, 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 something. God, how they hurt
me. Yes, Libby.
Yay! I got those words.
I don't know it. If it makes you feel any better, I don't know it.
Oh, okay, good. At least I feel so much better about that. I'm just going to pass on that. Okay. I'm going to say I got that wrong.
Sometimes their hatred is out of control. God, how they hurt me. Mama says suffering is good for their soul, but they hurt me.
Oh.
All right. Well, you're both on one. So, and we're going to be doing 2 rounds, and then we'll do a bonus round for each of you if you're tied. So the next one goes to Mon.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. I feel like this one is easy, but I couldn't be. I could. I don't know. So it's harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding.
No more falsehood or derisions. Is that right? Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding. No more falsehood or derisions. Golden living? Dreams of visions? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mystic crystal revelations and the heck.
Yes.
Heck. I love beautiful. That I got that one, which is like so much more complicated than Carrie or Mamma Mia.
All right. So, Libby.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Give it to me.
But they all felt something, but I felt nothing.
I felt nothing.
Yes.
It's Chorus Line.
Except the feeling that this bullshit is absurd.
Yay! Is that right? It was close enough. It is. It's well absurd, done. But that works. Good job.
Yay, okay.
All right. Well so done. You are both actually tied, and these last ones,
guys, this is a first for me.
The hard one, and all I'm right. So sorry, Libby. I don't actually know how to sing yours. Your last one.
Maybe Mon knows.
Mon will know how to sing your one. But anyway, so we're going first with Mon. To handcrafted beers made in local breweries, to yoga, to yogurt, to rice and beans and cheese.
Oh, this one's going to kill me. To rice and beans and cheese. To curry vindaloo, to huevos rancheros and Maya Angelou.
It's just the you're just missing the first two little bits. They're two things.
Yeah.
I believe in you. You've got this.
Oh, my God. That's going to kill me. What is it? People, if anyone's listening to this, they're going to be like, you idiot!
It's my this!
My 16-year-old self is slapping me over the face. It's literally in all forms sitting on the tip of my tongue. Nah. I'm sorry. I have to give up.
To leather, to dildos, to curry vindaloo. But I'm assuming you know what the show is.
It's from Shrek, the musical.
Yeah. Which, funnily enough, on to Libby's final one.
I'm kind of guessing this is also from Shrek.
Okay. Well, I guess I kind of just gave it away, didn't I?
Indeed.
What makes us special makes us strong.
Oh, guys, it's been too long. Oh, God. Oh. Can you sing it?
What makes us special? What makes us special? What makes us special makes us strong. Oh, you're welcome. These are my
Let
gifts.
Your
you're welcome.
Flag fly.
I mean, you actually didn't get
you
it
are
right,
so welcome.
Libby.
Oh, I didn't?
Well, kind of. It's let your freak flag wave. Let your freak flag fly.
Oh.
It's all right. I didn't get leather and dildos. Does that mean we tied?
You guys tied.
Yay!
We tied! Even with my bonus round, you still tied.
That was really bad for me. I'm going to listen back to this and go, Monique, you should know better. That's
You guys still did really, really well.
Oh, I'm so proud of us.
Woo!
Monique audition smashed.
COVID 5.
Woohoo! So after all of that hype, we did want to ask you, what was the show that actually helped you grow the most as a performer?
Ooh. They all helped me in some way or another.
Yeah.
And like you wouldn't think a mega musical like Mamma Mia could do that, but it did.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone kind of turns their noses up to, you know, jukebox musicals and things that are just fun and camp. And as soon as you like just take it for what it is, you can like we opened in Canberra, and I just never forget like getting to actually look at people's faces and just seeing how happy they are. That sounds so lame, but they were just, you know, getting up and dancing without fail every time an audience did that. Nobody had to be asked to, though. They were busting to.
That's the best thing about Mamma Mia.
Like, nobody even has to say that. It's just, like, this unwritten rule where you go, well, now's when we get up. And, you know, just seeing, like, the different kinds of audiences. And whenever we got to do signed shows, we'd have a couple of people who would do Auslan of the lyrics and words of the show in the corner for deaf audiences.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we did that for Mamma Mia, we did it for Ghost. I think we did it for A Chorus Line, I can't remember.
I didn't realise they did that.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it's amazing. And shows catered to people with autism or certain things where they'll like dim the lights.
Where they have like the lights
the sounds out. I think that that kind of stuff is amazing and kind of just makes you go like, oh, this is why we do this. This is why like I put up with sore knees 8 times a week, or this is, you know, why I need to stop pissing and moaning, for lack of a better word. Hair was a big challenge. We had some technical challenges. We had, because it's a rock musical, it's probably the most full-on rock musical I've ever done. Like, for my voice, I think hair was how I grew the most, because I had a lot of struggles that I had to figure out how to work around. Mamma Mia was the first time I got injured on a show.
Oh, really?
What did you do? My knees, as you get older, your knees go. The shock absorbers under your kneecaps kind of start eroding, and I was having a lot of trouble with my knees, so I had to take a show off, and that is a big, like, it's a big thing in bigger tours. It's like seen as a really, it used to be seen as this big, like, you were a bad person if you took a show off. And if you're injured, it's the right thing to do to take a show off, and we need to start encouraging new performers, like, when they go into bigger contracts, when you have understudies and covers, that's what they're there for, and they you know, they're trained and they do their job and they know what they're doing, and we need to put ourselves first for a second when we know it's really serious, not when I got a little tickle, I gotta go have a couple of days off. Was in pain and I was staying on stage way longer than I needed to, and it took the creative team to be like, they had to come up to me, and I was like, I'm fired.
Oh, no.
And they were like, Mon, we know you're struggling. It's okay. It's okay to take a show off. It's okay. See the physio, get the diagnosis. She will tell you what she thinks. And if it means taking some shows off, that is okay. So I think we need to cultivate a new culture where we go, it's okay to take care of yourself.
You should support them in that decision rather than them hurting themselves in the future, and your career is going to be long. You want it to keep going rather than stop at that one show.
I think
that
it was
did,
something
you know?
That I saw Natalie Weiss, I think that's how you say her name, talking about actually, like, maybe like a week ago, about Emojiland, that she had hemorrhaged in her throat during Emojiland, like a couple of days before the show opened, and so she kept pushing, and she kept pushing, and she made it worse, and then when she went and saw someone, they actually told her, okay, you need to take a couple of days off. And they said that her voice, after she took the time off and it healed, she took off, like, maybe I think she said 10 days. And she went back to see the doctor and they said, your throat is actually healthier than when you started the show, because you took that time to take it off rather than pushing to a point where you do, you know, irreparable damage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in the shows that you have done, because obviously we haven't mentioned all of the shows that you've done, but in all the shows that you have done, have there been any pinch me moments, or like one big moment where you just went, oh shit, like, I do this?
The first thing I think of, it shouldn't be, but it is. The first thing I think of when you ask me that is when Celine Dion came to Mamma Mia. She came and watched the show. So
stop it.
The way it went down was that we weren't told that she was coming. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
And then it was towards the end of Act One. People had started like saying things like, have you seen that woman out there? She looks like Celine Dion. It's really weird. And then other people being like, she's in Melbourne. We're in Melbourne. She was like, she's in Melbourne right now. It could be her.
God.
And then all of a sudden at interval, my friend who was playing... my best friend, Jessica White, who was playing Lisa, she comes running up to me and she's like, Celine Dion is here, Celine Dion is here. She is literally here in the crossover. And me being the pessimistic person that I am, I was like, yeah, sure. This is like the time you told me that Bear Grylls was here. Sure. and so it became a thing where, like, it was also, the fact was that it was a joke that we had. We were like, oh, Bear Grylls is in the audience, or like Queen Elizabeth's here, or it was just like a thing we would kind of say to each other to kind of give us energy or pump us up or like just have a laugh at, or just be like, how ridiculous would it be if Cher was watching right now, or something like that. So this was going around and I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. Celine's here and Bear Grylls is next to her, whatever. But Jess was like, no, she literally came past the crossover with someone. She was ushered with someone, and she saw us. They were doing something in like makeup in the mirror, and Jess was like telling me the story. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Didn't believe it. And then our resident choreographer was like, okay, guys, so I will confirm. Yes, Celine Dion is in the audience, and we lost our minds.
No.
But for some reason in Act Two, she'd moved spots and then I didn't see her. But, like, there was still this, we were all just buzzed. And then in the Megamix, in the finale, we, like, saw her. Like, we saw her and she was getting up. And we had this partner section to do and I was holding my partner's hand and we were just screaming at each other, like, fangirling out.
Life complete.
This is the weirdest thing ever. And then she came backstage and had a chat with us and she was like, you know what, just so amazing what you do. This is my terrible Celine impression. just so amazing what you do. And she gave us this beautiful speech. We were just like, what is happening? Oh, Celine Dion is like within arm's reach of me right now. It was nuts. And she just looked so beautiful and regal and amazing. And she was heaven on a stick. But yeah, that was a moment where I was like, this is what my life is. I'm dancing for Celine Dion. In what kind of world does that happen?
Now, on a bit of a more serious note, we did want to talk a little bit about how COVID-19 has been affecting you and what impacts you have felt being in a production that has been cancelled due to it, and also with your fellow music theatre performers that are going through similar things. Like, what has been the effects on you?
Our show was cancelled after a bunch of shows that we had heard a bunch of other shows were cancelled. A lot of good mates of mine were in Billy Elliot, and they were told that they had just done their last show on the Sunday, or whatever this, like, last week of shows was. Yeah. And we were told we were having a company meeting on the Tuesday, and was... You know, we were sent a weekly schedule and everything was saying it was going on as per normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, half of us were in this bracket of, you know, being keeping up to date with the news and looking at Broadway closing and Disneyland closing and going, like, I don't know if we're going to last much longer. And others were like, no, we are working. We have our job. We are doing it. Let's not bring it here into work. And so everyone was quite divided and dealing with it in different ways, and everyone's going to it's just the fact that our generation has never really seen or experienced anything like this before. You know, we haven't lived through a world war. Are so lucky. I'm not that old. Like, I'm old, but I didn't live through the Spanish flu. Like, you know, so this is a first for a lot of us. So we're going, okay, we've got to take this day by day. We've got to see what the government is saying day by day. Rules and regulations, you know, were changing so quickly because the virus was changing every second. So different. It was every day was so different. So, you know, first we were told that Brisbane would still go ahead, and then we were told that that wasn't going to go ahead. There was a possibility of us just being on a break, and this all happened within a matter of 2 days. So then, at our company meeting, we are closed. You did your last show. That's it. So it was incredibly, we were all so sad and just shocked. And like, even though I was one of the ones that was kind of preparing myself for it, I was still shocked by it. And normally things hit me a lot later if I get some bad news or if something bad happens to me, you know, I'll make a joke out of it, I'll distract myself from it, and then in a couple of days I'll get sad about it. But this, for some weird reason, got me straight away. We went for drinks after and consoled each other just before all the bars shut, and just cried and, you know, consoled each other. And, you know, it was a closing night that we didn't see happening. And, you know, even now I still go, like, oh, we would have opened in Brisbane, or, you know, I'd still be in Melbourne, or... You know, there's still, it's just like everyone else has been saying, it feels like every day you wake up and we go, oh, this is still what life is right now? Oh, okay, right. It's so weird, isn't it? It's just weird.
So surreal.
And also not knowing that you had all that, you know, you had all that work lined up, and then for it just to, like, okay, cool. And then are we going, like, when are we going to be back to normal?
We're still asking,
like,
that.
Yeah. We don't know.
It's just, and it's so weird at not having an end date and it not being like, the lockdown ends on this day, flights commence this day, theatre will reopen. And
But how have you been dealing with that? Have you been getting creative? Obviously, you mentioned earlier that you have a Zoom kind of show happening. So, what have you been?
I'm not going to lie. There are days I've done absolutely nothing and I have not been creative and have sat on my butt and eaten and, gone, no, I'm going to feel sorry for myself today. And that's all right. We're allowed to do that.
100%.
But, you know, the other days I've had some, I've got some amazing friends who are doing a concert called Lights Up on the Arts. This is with Joshua Robson Productions.
Yeah.
That's going to be on May 11th. So it's a bunch of Australian music theatre people just doing the songs of Stephen Schwartz. And, yeah, it's going to be an awesome online concert. Yes. We had a little dress rehearsal the other night.
Ooh.
And to work out technicalities and stuff. And I think that's very smart that we did that, because we all know, even just from Zoom chats, we're all having moments where we're like, what's happening with the sound?
Yes.
What's going on with this? And why? So we had a good little technical rehearsal. And Josh is an incredible producer. He's also an insane performer. Please look him up. Josh Robson was one of the pigs in Shrek, but but he has so much more. What else? Oh, well, the most creative I have been getting is with a bunch of my friends. We do a Zoom trivia night, which I started, and
I have seen this.
My partner and I, we love a dress up, we love a costume, we love a theme, and I'm gonna say it, we kill it every week, and we get way too into it. As other people just put on like a background on Zoom, but we deck out. So we get into
it. Yeah, I love a good trivia night. It's totally. You can get creative.
And we're learning a lot. I was like, oh my God, I'm learning about that.
Exactly. Well, all right, let's finish this off.
Yes.
Thank you so much for all your time, because, oh my gosh, we've been
talking. I've
for
loved
ages
it.
Now.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this so much. I'm so glad you guys are doing
it. It's so good. And we love getting people on that are just like so in the industry, and especially like I look at you and I'm like, you're like 20.
Stop it. Stop
like,
it.
That's like,
that's how old you think
I know. I know how old you are, but that's how I see you. I see you as like very young, and I'm like, I always picture, I'm like, cool, so you must have started like in the industry at like 17.
Yes, you've made my day. You've literally made my day. Couldn't get better than this. It's not gonna get better. I'm just gonna go to bed now because it can't get better. I'm 30, babes. I had my 30th in COVID.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
how was that?
I had an ISO birthday. Well, funnily enough, my friends and family threw me a surprise 30th before, like in February. My birthday was in March, but they threw me a surprise birthday in February because I was going to Melbourne. Because my birthday, my birthday was supposed to be in Melbourne. So my mum and Georgie and a bunch of my friends were like, let's throw a random thing, like literally a month earlier.
That's so cute.
So I kind of had a birthday, and then, you know, ended up back here. And so we had a little ISO birthday. You know, we had pancakes and played Nintendo Switch.
Aww.
And I was fine with that. I'm 30, eating pancakes and playing Nintendo. I'm okay with this.
This is live. Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap things up with your bedtime story. So this can be any funny thing. It can be anything that's happened to you in theatre.
Stage mishap.
Okay. But the bedtime story I would tell you, pull up your blankies, get nice and cozy.
Oh, I'm ready.
So during a chorus line, I can't ever remember if it was Perth or Adelaide, but I think it was Adelaide. Anyway, we were somewhere. And we were doing our show, and we did the opening number, and then we stood on our line, and Zach is out in the audience giving his opening monologue, and all of a sudden, I hear this. And I was like, what the hell was that? Anyway, and then we just hear this, I'm hearing this rustling, and I was like, oh, it's the light, something, the light, and I thought the lights were going to fall down. I was like, are the lights about to fall on our head? And we're just hearing this like clanging of things, of lights above us, and a few of us are just kind of doing side eyes, even though we were like in the middle of a scene.
Yeah.
So there's like Zach's talking out in the front, bunch of us have interjections or whatever, and then, you know, we come forward and introduce ourselves and blah, blah, blah. And as this is happening, we're hearing these noises, and we're like, what is that noise? Then all of a sudden, front center, this pigeon lands.
Like, oh my God!
There's a pigeon on the stage, front and center, in front of us. And it is, and then the audience is like, oh my God, there's a pigeon, oh my God, there's a pigeon, oh my God. And they all start like talking about it. And then it was in shock. It was clearly in shock. And it starts kind of like walking around. It didn't fly. It was just walking around and just kind of stopped. And the audience was just like loving it. Meanwhile, we're like,
that he's just like, I'm having my moment. I'm part of a chorus line now.
Literally. It was his best audition. And then I heard next to me, Ash McKenzie, who was playing Bobby, he then says to Deb Kryzak on the other side of him, he was like, should I do something? I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something to her and she just put her hand up to him and said, I got this. So Deb Kryzak, the legend that she is, starts to like walk around the pigeon. She knew to walk behind the pigeon so that it couldn't see her. She very calmly and swiftly picks it up. It didn't fly away because she was behind it. She knew to get behind it. She picks it up, puts it like under the side of her arm as if it was like a Prada clutch bag, and she just walks off stage. Meanwhile, our stage manager is standing there wide-eyed and just like, what the hell? Deb brings the stage manager the pigeon, and just the stage manager is just like, I'm holding the pigeon. What is happening? Deb comes back on, dusts her hands off, puts her hand in the air, like, thank you very much. The audience goes absolutely nuts. We couldn't help but applaud her, and then we just continued, and we were just, like, that's to this day... We can't stop talking about it.
I cannot believe that.
Turns out, I didn't know this, but Deb is actually like a professional bird handler and has a lot of birds. And,
oh my
like,
God.
Did shows with birds and is like a bird fanatic. That's why she knew what to do. But I didn't know this before. I was just like in shock and just stunned. Like, how does this woman know that she needs to like get behind and blah, blah, blah. And people who knew her were like, oh my God. Of course Deb is the one to save this. Of course this is happening to us. And of course Deb is the one to gonna make this work.
When she said she had this, she really meant
like, I know literally exactly what to do with this suitcase scenario. If she wasn't in our cars, I don't know what we would have done. We just would have like, sure, there's a pigeon here. What are we going
to
do?
That was incredible. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and chatting to us about all things theatre. We really appreciated it, and I'm sure everyone is going to really enjoy getting your inside view on everything. Yes. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, girls. I'm so glad that you've got this awesome podcast going. Please keep going, and I can't wait to listen to all the rest.
I mean, we do not have any plan on stopping, but yes, thank you so, so much, and for sharing your wisdom and experience with us. It has just been absolutely amazing to chat with you and getting the chance to catch up with you as well.
Yeah, anytime, girls, anytime. It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, guys, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with another new episode for you, but until then, remember to stay happy, safe, and healthy. And we will see you then.
Bye! Bye.